So I want everyone to do something for me. I want everyone to take out your phones. I know, it's so funny. It's like, oh, I should put my phone away. You're always told, put your phone away, put your phone away, put your phone to work or school, wherever else, put your phone away. Stop playing on your phone. Stop looking at those Facebook Reels. I mean, man, those Facebook Reels are just, sometimes they get me, and I'm just like, what did I just do with 30 minutes of my life? I'm just like, it's like it gets sucked in. I'm like, oh, gosh. But, I mean, I want you to get out your phone, and I want you to go into it, and I want you to go to the notes section. The notes section. Notes. You don't go there? That's okay. We're going to go there today. Go to the notes section. And then I want you to open up a new note, which is down here in the right-hand bottom, right-hand bottom of your phone. Go into that. And I want you to expect a word from the Lord today. Expect a word from the Lord because he's got something he wants to share to you today. Maybe you're not a fast typer. That's okay. I'm not either. Or maybe you are a fast texter and you're like, I can write this whole sermon down, Pastor Van. Well, that's great. That's great. I'd love to hear it. I love to see that, but God wants to share with you something special today. So I want you to be ready. It's funny, when I go to certain conferences, when someone's giving a prophetic word or something else, people, they've been trained now more so at different places. Like I went to Global the other night, and the Lord gave me a word, a prophetic word for a gentleman, and he just immediately got his phone out, pushed record, and I just was able to record everything I said for what the Lord was saying. I'm like, yes, that's the way to do it. Back in the olden days, we didn't have that. We had to write down a pencil and paper. Had to find a pen or something. But I want us to be ready for when God wants to speak to us. And as it was Benjamin Franklin who said, the faintest pen is better than the best memory. So when you write it down, you can read it again. And like if you do like I like to do, I like to go over every few months or every few weeks and see what God's been speaking to me over the course of time, and see what's going on, because it's a great thing. Amen? All right, so we got our phones. So the word that was given earlier this year for our church was make ready. Make ready. So we're going to go into a little bit deeper meaning of that to make ready today. And you might be saying, well, make ready. What do you mean by that? So let me give you an example. So if you're going to make dinner, how many of y'all make dinner? A lot of you, I'm sure. I like dinner, as you can tell, so I like to make dinner. I mean, I don't like to add all those spices and all the other stuff because to me it's like, oh, I don't know about, how does that work together? Does the flavors mesh? I'm not good. Give me something pre-baked. I'm baking something like that. I'm good. But like my wife, she can do all these different types of spices and herbs and all these things that make it taste wonderful, and I'm just like, how did that come from that? That's amazing. Anyways, so you got to make dinner. So what do you go first? You make a list of what you need. You go to the grocery store, and you spend maybe 4 hours in the grocery store. I don't know. Maybe you're the type of shopper that walks down every aisle back and forth just to make sure you got everything. Not naming any names who people have done that in my family, but it takes about 4 hours. Or if you went to Harris Teeter, it took you 2 rounds of cookies because he used to give cookies out to the little kids that were there waiting for their mothers to get done with groceries. So that was a long time ago, though. And they don't hand those out anymore. I checked. So you get all these ingredients together. You're getting all this stuff together. You're going through the grocery store. And then depending on what you make, depending on how many ingredients you need for what you make, maybe you're making spaghetti. Well, you don't need, too many ingredients for spaghetti. And so you make that. Or maybe you want a chocolate mousse pie. Now, there we go. Now we're talking dessert. Maybe you're more into the culinary art, the culinary artist, maybe like a blanc de veau or something like that, or maybe a soup de jolion or something like that, or some other type of French, French word that I can't pronounce or spell. Maybe that's you. Maybe you can make those things. I can't spell them or say them very well. I'm just saying, I took Spanish in high school. I can't speak French. I'm sorry. Maybe you're making something like that. But you have to have all the ingredients there to prepare to make that dish. And that's what God's speaking to us. God wants us to have all the ingredients, everything ready. We got to make ready here, CLCC, for what he's about to do. Because the dinner he's about to cook is going to be amazing. The dinner he's about to do in this church, in this area, in this region, is going to be amazing. And I want everyone here, I encourage everyone here to be a part of that. Be a part of that in any way possible. Be a part of that. So the question the Lord brought to me, it's interesting that he's going on questions. It's been like this for the last, interesting how he's been doing that. But he gave me two questions today. I was like, all right, Lord, where are we going with this? And I'll explain it. So the questions today for the make ready your life, to make ready what God wants you to do, the questions today are, where's the disconnect? Where's the disconnect? And the second question with that, is it your heart or your hand? Where is the disconnect? Is it your heart or your hand? And you might be saying, Pastor Van, what do you mean by, you know, the disconnect? What are you talking about? And what it's referring to, the disconnect, is whenever the Lord speaks to you, and he's spoken to everyone, whenever he speaks to you, where is there the disconnect from making that happen or that going through? Where is the disconnect? So if the Lord gave you a word that you're going to be a pastor one day, and 70 years down the road, you're still not a pastor, there's a disconnect right there. There's a little bit of a disconnect. Something along the way was a disconnect. Or maybe the Lord gave you a word earlier this year, and you haven't seen it happen. And he told you to do it, but there's some type of disconnect. And the disconnect can be one of two places. Now, it can be, we can dive down into those two places, the heart or the hand. We're not going to do that because otherwise we'd be having an eight-week series where we'd bring in people like Ray Light, or we'd bring in people like Bill Johnson, or maybe T.D. Jakes, or Richie Lewis, or Bernie Moore, or people like that. Some of the, you know, we could do that, but that's not what we're called to do this week. Where is the disconnect? Because God speaks to every one of us and has specific plans for us to do. But what's keeping you from doing it? Is it your heart or is it your hand? And I'm going to go into that. So let's turn to Mark 10. Let's go to Mark 10. And we're going to go to verse 17. Mark 10, 17. Did you know that your phone can have a Bible app as well? Did you know that? It's amazing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like my Bible. I like my Bible. It's my Bible. This is my father's Bible. It's my Bible. It will be my son's Bible. I love my Bible. But boy, sometimes it's really quick and easy to pull up that phone. Just bloop, 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 bloop. It's amazing how I can just type in something. I'm like, oh, it's there. It's so nice. Mark 10. And we're going to start in verse 17. Mark 10, 17. Here we go. Mark 10, 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell. And that's the sermon for today. Thank you guys for coming out here. I appreciate you guys. Be blessed. Have a great day. Amen. Amen and amen. No. No. This is a big, this is a prime example why we read the whole thing and not just stop. Now, sometimes you should stop, but we want to make sure the whole thing is read, because if we were to do stop right there, okay, he fell. Did he fall on his face because of the glory of God? Did he fall and hurt himself? Did Jesus heal him? Or should we start a church calling the first church of people falling for Jesus, Incorporated Assembly of God, Assembly of Saints, Assembly of Holiness Church, and Donut Shop? Should we, you know, we could do a whole nother church based on that, a whole nother religion. It'd be amazing. But yeah. That's why we always want to read the scripture. We want to finish it out. So as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Oh, there it is. That's what we're looking for. On his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." I was like, wow, that's pretty, whew, Jesus is going a little savage right there, seems like. But you know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. I can see this guy. Because I could see me doing this. That would be interesting. I could see me doing that. That's a whole other story. But I could see this guy doing this. And Jesus is like saying, did you defraud? He's like, teacher, hold on a second, teacher. I got this. I've done these since I was a boy. Let me tell you something, Jesus. You know, you shall not murder. No worries. I don't own a gun, a knife, or nothing. So there's no way I'm murdering anyone. Don't you worry, Jesus. And then he says, you shall not commit adultery. Well, Jesus, I don't even look at a woman. I don't even know what a woman looks like. You know, don't worry, Jesus. I have no idea. No worries there. And then he says, you shall not steal. Jesus, I got some wealth. I never stole a thing in my life. I didn't steal from any grocery store. I didn't steal from any 7-Eleven when I was younger. I didn't give into peer pressure and do this or steal that. No. I didn't do any of that. And he said, you shall not give false testimony. Jesus, let your yes be yes, your no be no. I got this. I'm good. You shall not defraud. Jesus, I don't even know what fraud is. I've never frauded anyone. I didn't call somebody up and say, hey, did you know that you could win $5 million by giving me $500 from a prince in Egypt is going to give you that money? Because if you send that to me, you can be rich. You know those scam emails that you get? You know those defrauding ones? Hey, you want to be a millionaire? Send us $600 and you can claim your $3 million prize. You know? Ugh. They need Jesus. Anyways, it's fraudsters. And then it says, honor your father and mother. And he's like, Jesus, I got my father. I know how to honor my father and mother. You know what I did? I even paid for their house down there. That's how well I honor my father and mother. You know, I even bought them a river cruise down the Jordan River. That's how well I honor my father and mother. I can just see this guy saying, I got this. I've got this in spades. I can just see me. I got this. Jesus, I kept all these since I was a boy. All of them. And then this is interesting. I love it. I love it, and yet it saddens me when it shows this right here, the next verse. Jesus looked at him and loved him. When Jesus looks at you and loves you, he wants great things for you. But sometimes it's a thing you really don't want to hear. Because Jesus doesn't judge on the outside. He cuts the heart. Which is good. I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying it's a good thing. It helps us to become more like him. To walk like he walks. To talk like he talks. It should be every Christians strive to wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and see Jesus there. Now, some of you might say, well, Van, you know, Pastor Van, I don't know about that. You know, I got people in my life that really keep me from being like Jesus. But let me tell you, Jesus had people that could kept him from being him too. I mean, he had a traitor amongst him. All of his friends deserted him. Everyone tried to kill him. And he only spoke what was true and wonderful. But Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Where's the disconnect? Is it your heart or your hand? And some in this some in this story would say, well, the rich young ruler had a heart disconnect because of his heart not, you know, wanting to go there. And then some of you from a different point of view might say, through your life experience, might say, well, actually it was more of a hand disconnect because his heart was there anyways because he was asking. And so it was really more of a hand disconnect. And I want to say to both points of view, yes, you're both right. Just because we look at something and it's the same thing doesn't mean that we're not looking at the same thing. And I believe this example right here is a beautiful example of heart and hand disconnect. So the way I see it from the heart is that this man, the heart disconnect was, we saw that he went away sad. His heart wasn't it. He did those things when he was a boy. He kept them from a boy, kept them as he was a boy and turned into a man. But his heart wasn't in there. His disconnect was the heart. Because he's like, I don't want to do that. You could say that. We don't know exactly how he felt. We know in the scripture it says, go back to that. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And we could say, yes, it could be a heart issue. Because he didn't want to go through with it. He was like, I don't know, God. Let me give you an example. Let me make it a little bit more personal then. Say you had a friend. And someone from the friend's family died. You know? So they're raising money for the funeral. They've got a GoFund page or something like that. Or you hear from word of mouth that they need a little help because of the burial expenses and things like that. And then while you're praying one day, Jesus says, I want you to give X amount of money. Maybe it's a dollar. Maybe it's $5. Maybe it's $10. Maybe it's $500. Maybe it's $1,000. Maybe it's $6,000. Maybe he wants you to pay for the whole funeral yourself. See, this is when it becomes a heart issue. So this is the heart issue right here. Your response shows your heart. And you say to that Jesus told you to do this, and you know he's telling you to do that, and your heart says, nope, I'm not going to do that. That must not be Jesus. But you know it is. You know it's Jesus that's telling you to do that, whether how much it is to give. You know it's him, but you're like, I don't want to do that. You know, I worked hard for my money, Lord. You know, you start arguing with him a little bit. You're like, I worked hard for my money. You know, I had that money set aside for, you know, my new boat or, you know, my new this or, you know, I was going to take the kids down to Disney World. I mean, it was the kids, Lord. Do it for the kids. I mean, come on. So you're struggling. And you're like, well, I don't really know. And you're like, no. And you're like, no. And God keeps on telling you. And you're like, no. And it's a heart issue then. The disconnect is your heart. I'm going to give you a good quote. Are you ready for a good quote? Are you ready for a good one? This is a good one. And the reason why I say I love good quotes is because when I was younger, I never thought I'd be able to give amazing quotes like John Maxwell or some of these other big name preachers. And I was always like, man, how do they get such good quotes? Where do they come up with this stuff? It's amazing because it's like, oh, it hits you right in the chest. You're like, oh, that's good. That's really good. That's deep. That's impactful. It's like, oh, and that's why I love to be able to give them because I never thought I'd be able to give them. I really never thought that. Of course, I never thought I'd be a lead pastor either, but you know, hey, God does some very funny things at times. But this is a quote. So if you want to put this in your notes, if you don't get anything else, put this down. When you're not willing to surrender your kingdom to Jesus, you will never reign with Jesus in his. Come on, somebody. That would blow up on Twitter right now. I can tell you that right now. That could blow up on Twitter. Yes, sir. When you're not willing when you're not willing to surrender, your kingdom to Jesus, you will never reign with Jesus in his. When you're not willing to surrender your kingdom to Jesus, you will never reign with Jesus in his. What's your heart posture? Is your heart posture, Lord, what can I do today that will serve you, that will bless you, that will build your kingdom? Or is your heart today, how can I serve myself? What's the best thing I can do for myself? Because that's where your heart is. Or maybe you have that heart disconnect because you've been hurt. Oh, man. Maybe you've been hurt by family, by stranger, by the church, by ministry. Maybe you've been hurt by those things. And they're true. I mean, my kids get upset if that McDonald's ice cream machine is not working. They are upset. They are furious. We're never going back. That darn McDonald's machine ice cream. No ice cream for nobody. Seems like it's always broken for some reason. I don't understand. Sorry, McDonald's. And they're like, I'll never go back. And then they get their Happy Meal. All right, we're going back. We'll try again. You know, that's just how it goes. But maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're on Facebook watching right now because you've been too hurt in the church. You still love God, but you think the church is full of hypocrites. Maybe. And I would say to that, if you've been hurt like that, I would love to have a conversation with you on Facebook or in this house. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Love to talk to you about it. And you can give the church an email. You can contact me through Facebook, through the church page, and we can have a conversation about it. And I don't mind at all. I'd love to talk to you about that. You're like, I still love God, but I just don't like his church. I just don't like the church. I don't like people. And the one thing that I'll say to you, first of all, there's a lot of different ways I can talk about that. But the one thing I say, like Jesus told the rich young ruler, because he loved him, and I love people. Sometimes they can get on your nerves. Sometimes they can get under your skin sometimes. But I do love people. And this is what I say. You can't say you love God and not love what he loves the most. You can't say you love God and not love what he loves the most, which is people. It said in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. In this, while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So I want to encourage people. If you're not big on my Facebook friends, if you just feel like the church is full of hypocrites, let's have a conversation. But God loves you just as much as he loves everyone else. But he has plans and purposes for every one of us. Every one of us. He has special plans and purposes. But if you isolate yourself, he can't fulfill that as well as he'd like to. He can do some great things, but he'll only go as far as you're willing to go. When you're not willing to surrender your kingdom to Jesus, you will never reign with Jesus and his. So is there a disconnect in your heart? So we talked about the heart. We got some good examples. Now let's move on. Let's move on to the hand. Now, some people will say from the story of the rich young ruler, rich young ruler, got a little tongue-tied there. It's tough sometimes to speak Words are hard and difficult at times. But I'm real. That's how it goes. But some of you might say the rich young ruler, it was the hand. The disconnect was his hand. Because he was living that way. His heart was towards God, in a sense. But then when he heard about that, he's like, I can't do that. And maybe it's not because I won't do that, but I just don't know if I can do that. Maybe fear came in and set aside, well, how will I pay for everything? How will I be able to live? How can I honor my father and mother? How can I do all these things? Or maybe it's like, I've got no faith. Maybe that was the rich young ruler's expression. So let's go back to the example. Let's go back to our friend. A family member died. He is in need of money for the funeral. God says, give some money to the funeral. But instead of saying, no, I'm not doing it, forget it, where it's a heart issue, you say, okay, God, I'll do it. But how do I do it? All right, God, you're telling me to give $500 to my friend's funeral to help out. How do I do that? Do I do it through PayPal? Do I do that through Venmo? Do I write them a check? Do they accept MasterCard? I don't know. You know, it's kind of like, how do I do that? But then fear comes in and says, well, I don't know if I can do that. Will I be able to, you know, afford groceries this month if I do that? Will I, you know, God, I've got a little bit left. This is for rent or this is for that. And I've kind of budgeted this out. Will I have enough to do that? And it's not really a heart issue at that time. It's a hand issue because God's, your heart is in it. You want to do it. But it's just, there's a disconnect between getting it to them. It's a disconnect getting out of your hand, getting your hand on it. Or maybe you might be a little bit like me. You tend to forget. And that's not always the best thing. I know that God's told me in the past to give something. I'm like, yeah, God, I'll give it. And then 3 months go by, I was supposed to do that. I'm like, I was supposed to give to that. Oh, no. Is it too late? And I'm like, my heart was there, but my hand, there was a disconnect. And I was like, I just forgot. And then I finally remembered. The Lord brought it to my remembrance. And then I forgot again. Another 2 months went by. And I'm like, oh, man. God, I'm so sorry. I meant to do it, but I forgot. Maybe there's a disconnect in your hand. Maybe it's just all it is. One thing I love about this church. Can I brag on this church a little bit? Do you guys mind if I brag on you guys a little bit? Can I do that? Oh, yeah. Why not? Hey, yeah. That sounds good to me. You're like, hey, no one's really bragged on me in a while before. So, hey, go ahead, Pastor Man. You go ahead and brag on us. I need Pastor Kurt here. He'd be like, yes, brother, go ahead. You know, Pastor Kurt would say that. Thanks, Jack. Yeah. Let me brag on my church a little bit here. We just had a leadership meeting this past week, and I'm just so blessed to see what God's doing in our leadership. I'm just so blessed to see that and excited for all the different ministries we have, all the different things that God's doing in our ministry leaders, our elders, our deacons, all of our head ministers of all the different departments. And I'm just proud of our leaders. I think they're doing a good job. The pastors as well. I think we're doing a good job. I really do. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in this house and in this region. Because did you know that we don't go by the normal church standard? And you may be like, well, Van, what do you mean by the normal church standard? There is a rule in place that's called the 80-20 rule that half to most churches go by. Because that's what it's called. It's called an 80-20 rule. And it's still very much in churches today. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Van, what's the 80-20 rule? I've never heard of this. This is a different term. Well, this is how it's used. So the 80-20 rule is 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. It's a sad story, to be honest. 80%, that's a lot. And that includes leadership. 80% is done by the 20% in the church. No wonder churches get burnt out. No wonder things happen. But I'm going to brag on our church Because we're not an 80-20 church. We're an 80-80 church. And I'm like, yes, come on. 80% of the work is done by 80% of the people. And that's awesome. That is awesome. That really is. So I brag on you guys. Now, would I love to get to 100%, 100%? Yes, that would be great. That would be wonderful. I love for everyone to get plugged in somewhere, somehow. Some way, somehow, whether it's praying, whether it's on the prayer team, whether it's giving, you know, maybe you just can't do anything at the moment and all you can do is give. That's okay. Maybe all you can do is pray. Maybe you want to help out with children's department. Maybe you want to help out with coming out to the men's. Maybe you want to help out with worship team. Maybe you want to help out with sound and things like that. There's lots of places to plug into. And that there is such a great people of doing things already. And then when we were going around the leadership team, I was hearing all these things, and I love to hear the heart of the leaders. Where the prayer is, they just want to do more. And not that they want to do more in a sense where I want to take on more different responsibilities, more jobs, is that, no, we want to be able to do more for this house, for this area, for this region. We want to do more for the Lord. We want to build His kingdom. We don't want to build our kingdom. We want to build His kingdom. We want to be able to reach more people for the, be able to reach out to the harvest and see more come in to this house and other houses of worship. We want to see, be able to have more money to bless other people, to be able to give out of the overflow. We want to have more ideas to help and serve and become more effective and efficient. And ultimately, we just want to bless God. We just want to love on Him more and more every day. So I love that our church, our leadership, is going in that direction. Because how many of you know that when you invest in the kingdom stock never goes down? Did you know about that? Did you know that? Did you realize that? All the stock markets, the S&P, the Fortune 500 companies, all these stocks out there, blue chip, pink slips, whatever you want to call them, there's so many different stocks out there. Did you know that when you invest in kingdom stock, it is the best and always at the highest price? It never devalues. Oh, well, God, you know, your stock took a big hit today, God. I just want to say, you know, I can see, God, I mean, you only have so many churches. Your churches, you had a few closed this year, so your stock's going down, God. Your stock's going up. You only had so many healings this week, so I think your quarterly earnings are a little bit lacking, God, you know? No, it's not like that at all. Not at all like that. His stock never devalues because the kingdom stock is based on Him, backed by God Almighty Most High. Never have to worry about that. We're not earning things here. We're earning things eternally. Eternal rewards. Now, I don't know what those rewards really look like. There's a lot of different other professors and theologians that can tell you what they might think the rewards look like, what they look like in heaven. Some people say it's souls. Some people say it's mansions. Some people say it's all these different things. Placement next to, you know, where you are. Whether you're more near Moses or you're more near someone else, you know, I don't know. But what I do know is this, is that I want to build His kingdom and not mine. And one day we're going to get to that time where we'll all stand before the Lord. And I can't wait for the words coming out of His mouth. We'll be, well done, Van. Well done. You did such a good job on earth. Well done, my faithful servant. I've been waiting for you to come up here because I want to bless you in an amazing way. Oh, such a wonderful thought. And one day a reality for me. You can have it too as well. When you stand before God Almighty, He can say, well done. Well done. You did such a great job here on earth. You blessed me so much. Let me tell you, in that day, that will be the biggest, the most affirming thing that could ever be said. There is nothing more affirming than the God of the universe saying, well done. Nothing more pleasing than that. So back to the question. Where's the disconnect? Is it your heart or your hand? Stacy, if you can come up and play something in the background. Bye, Facebook. I just want to give us a moment to respond to what the Lord's been speaking today. Because I'm always a big advocate to letting Him hear what He's speaking to each one of us. Because He wants to speak to each and every one of us. We can have that relationship. We can have that friendship with Him. That He'll speak with us and speak to us. So the question I want to ask you today is the same question. Where's the disconnect? Is it your heart or your hand? And what we're going to do is we're just going to sit quietly just for a moment. Just head bowed, eyes closed. Not really look at anything, but just wanting to hear Him speak. And maybe He's talked to you about something earlier on the year and you're like, oh, I don't really want to do that. Or maybe it's something like, well, I'm doing it, but I forgot. Or maybe it's like, well, God, how do I provide for that? Maybe, is it your heart or your hand? Maybe it's something He spoke to you earlier this week. And you're like, ah. Or maybe it's something He spoke to you 2 years ago that you never did. And that He's bringing you up again to you right now. So we're just going to take a moment and let Him speak where He wants to speak. Thank you, Jesus.